Hey, Nikki.
Hey, Eric.
What are you doing out here in the graveyard on Christmas Day?
Burr, it's so cold. You know what? On Christmas Day, I think it's important to be thankful for what we have, but also look back and be thankful for the times we had with those who aren't here anymore.
Yeah, you know? I definitely.
Oh, like this lady right here. Her gravestone says, Melinda Greenland. First victim of the winter uprising of 2010. Trampled to death by cyber elves?
And here's Goatlib Asdman. Beloved son, father, uncle, nephew, cousin, step-cousin, boyfriend, pen pal, chiropractor, and radiologist.
I think I knew him.
Yeah.
I think he was my fourth cousin or something. Oh, look, here's the tombstone for Alfwin Ors. It says, in the end, he did not win. In the end was him. Wow.
So deep.
You know, these really make you think.
Yeah.
You know? Like.
Like this one always makes me think. Here lies Teresa Tess. If we could have one more moment with you, we would ask you what the Wi-Fi password was.
Yeah, that really hits home, you know? Yeah. It's such a hassle to try to call the cable company and get your password if you don't have it.
And once someone passes, that Wi-Fi password passes with them.
Yeah. And I think this might be actually the most appropriate one of them all. Here we have Hiroki Smith. No relation to me.
No relation, wow.
A lesson to us all. That lesson being never to spook a reindeer while standing within kicking distance.
Yeah, that's a very good lesson.
Yeah, you definitely gotta live by all these life lessons you can find in the graveyard. So, RIP, all those NPCs that were in the game that we're talking about today. Cthulhu Saves Christmas.
Great transition, Nikki.
Hopefully that wasn't too much of a downer for you guys. But there is a lovely scene in the game where you visit a graveyard and there's all these funny tombstones and it's hilarious. So Today we're talking about the perfect Christmas game, Cthulhu Saves Christmas, which is a retro-style RPG video game from the indie developer Zeboid Games, a tongue-in-cheek parody of the Cthulhu mythos. Cthulhu must save Santa Claus in order to restore his powers so he can destroy the world.
Yep.
Yeah, spoiler warning, we will be talking about the story and everything that entails, because that's pretty much the whole game.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Eric, were you able to find a lot of history?
I found some stuff. We'll see.
You found some stuff. That sounds promising.
Promising indeed.
For Christmas is Cthulhu.
Who doesn't want Cthulhu for Christmas? Oh man.
And Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. We forgot
to. Happy holidays.
Say that.
Yeah, we got New Year's coming up. All kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah.
So, what were you able to find?
So, Cthulhu Saves Christmas, as you said, was developed by Zeboid Games. So, Zeboid Games is Robert Boyd.
Okay.
Who writes the story and code, and Bill Sternberg, who provides the art and assets for the games. So
all
those
right.
two guys are kind of responsible for most of the game.
So it took two people to make the game.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
That's pretty cool.
And so I couldn't find a ton of stuff on the game, so I'm going to focus more on the company itself.
Yeah, you said that the game didn't even have a Wikipedia.
I mean, yeah, it's not the first one I've done that hasn't had a Wikipedia.
Yeah, but it's rare. Most, even like a lot of the smaller games still have a Wikipedia, even if it's just kind of bare, you know?
Yeah.
But maybe you need to make one now that you have all the history here.
Their other games had Wikipedia pages, or most of them. So Zeboid Games was founded in 2009. Their first games they made were interactive fictions, like visual novels.
Okay.
They were Epiphany in Space and Molly the Were-Zompire.
Okay.
And they came out for the Xbox Live Arcade.
All right. So this seems like a good transition because there still is a lot of story and stuff like that to it, but it just, they're basically adding on the addition of the RPG kind of like fighting and stuff.
Yeah. So they kind of started off doing interactive fiction or visual novels, and then they kind of transitioned into doing RPGs.
Yeah. Seems like a natural, organic way to go.
Yeah, I think so. Their first actual RPG they made was called Breath of Death 7.
Was there even a 1 through 6?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. The one thing about these people is I can tell they have a really good sense of humor.
And then shortly after that, actually in the same year, they came out with Cthulhu Saves the World.
Yeah. So he can destroy it.
And if you haven't guessed it yet, Cthulhu Saves Christmas is actually a prequel to Cthulhu Saves the World.
Oh, okay.
So the events of Cthulhu Saves Christmas, yeah, happened before Cthulhu
Saves the World. Yeah, I did pick up on that.
Both those games released for Xbox Live Arcade in 2010.
Okay.
So, and they kind of complained in an interview that their stuff like was really buried on the Xbox catalog. So,
oh, I bet.
You had to go like through several pages to even like browse their their games.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. There's just so many games on there. Anyone that wants to just release any game can put it on there basically. So
yeah,
I would imagine unless you have a game that starts with an A or a number or something.
Yeah,
you're probably way down in there.
Yeah, they said the Creators Club, I think is what it was called, but they said basically anyone could join and make stuff for it.
Mm-hmm.
The only condition that it was that you had to get approval from people already making games or people already on there.
Hmm.
So yeah, that was kind of an interesting way to do it.
That's a weird way to vet people because you're trusting pretty much anyone that's already on there, so they can just be like, yeah, this person's cool.
Yeah.
Even if they don't know them. I don't know. That's kind of weird.
So yeah, none of their games really got much traction on the Xbox Live Arcade. It wasn't until Breath of Death 7 and Cthulhu Saves the World were bundled as a package on Steam did they start to gain a significant amount of popularity.
Huh.
So basically, they got on Steam when Steam was still pretty early, and they didn't have like the crazy library they had nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of blowing up, so their games got kind of notoriety because they were, you know, they were available on there and they were cheap.
Okay. So basically what happened is they made a bundle just to basically see if that would help sales, and then it did. But also people liked the game, so word of mouth kind of helped spread like the review that it was good, and then other people bought it, I guess. Is that kind of what happened?
Yeah, that and the fact that because they were like so early on Steam, there just weren't a lot of other games on there yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were talking about their library as a company, not like Steam's library overall, but you meant there just wasn't a lot of games on Steam yet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that definitely helps. It's like, well, I don't have any other options, so let's play Cthulhu Saves Christmas. But the good thing on Steam is you can leave your reviews right there on the game, right? So did they have that as an option when they very first started out? Because that could have helped the game too.
I have no idea.
If people left good reviews for it.
True. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit here.
What?
Have you heard of the webcomic Penny Arcade?
No.
It's a gaming comic. I'm not sure exactly when it started, but it started getting popular in the 2010s.
Okay.
Like when it started blowing up. So you haven't heard of Penny Arcade, but maybe you've heard of PAX, P-A-X, which is a big gaming convention. It stands for Penny Arcade Expo. It's pretty big in the Northwest.
It's not ringing any bells.
They also started a charity called Child's Play, where they donate video games and consoles to hospitals.
Aw, that's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I've never heard of any of this stuff. Okay, so but you it sounds this, really cool.
All this stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, what all that's leading up to is the fact that at one point Penny Arcade decided they wanted to make a video game, which was Penny Arcade Adventures on the Rainslick Precipice of Darkness.
Wow, it's a long title.
Yeah, involving their characters. So they broke their game up into four episodes, and they had Hothead develop the first two episodes, and then Zaboy develop the third and fourth episodes for them. So okay. That also got them quite a bit of notoriety just because Penny Arcade was pretty huge at the time.
Okay, that's cool. Surprised I never heard of it.
Yeah, now at this point, I think their other ventures are more well-known than the actual Penny Arcade itself, the comic. Yeah. And at this point, they were able to quit their day jobs and start working on games full time.
Wow, because before finally. This,
yeah, they were still working their normal jobs.
All right, cool.
The next game Zeboid released was called Cosmic Star Heroine, which was a little bit longer and more serious. And that came out in 2017. But coming off that game, Robert said he wanted to do something that was funnier and lighter. And that led to their prequel game, Cthulhu Saves Christmas.
Cool.
Yeah, so their idea was they just kind of made this longer RPG mm-hmm. that was a little bit more serious. They wanted to kind of like lighten things up.
Yeah, change it up.
Make a shorter game that was kind of a lot sillier. And also it had to do with the fact that Cthulhu Saves the World was still one of their most popular games.
Mm-hmm.
So making a prequel or a sequel to it made sense.
Yeah, for sure. And assuming it's funny like this one, so maybe they already kind of knew they could do a game in that style of writing and everything.
Yeah, it has the same kind of fourth wall breaking humor.
Cool.
That's in Cthulhu Saves Christmas.
And then were they also like, hey, let's get in on that Christmas action and like do something no one else is doing and make a Christmas game? Was that a part of their thought process at all?
Yeah, they actually did want to make a game that people could play over the holidays. And that's also one of the reasons why they wanted to make it shorter was because this is just going to be something you play like
when your family comes to visit or something like that.
Yeah. So you can get away from your family, but not too much away.
Or if you want to play it together. I mean, there's not a two-player mode or anything, but this game is pretty funny to probably just read, you know, and just watch someone else play.
Yeah. This is a great game to watch. So Zeboid has had a lot of different sound designers. Most of their games have had different sound designers / musicians who made the music for it.
Oh, so they didn't do the music.
Yeah,
they just did the character design and the coding and stuff.
Yeah, so that...
pretty much everything else.
Yeah, the person who did the sound design for the game was Joshua Queen.
Okay, did he do the music as well?
Yeah, sound design, music, all that stuff.
Because sometimes, you know, in bigger games, that could be several different people. But, this is a smaller game, so... But I'm surprised that they didn't do the music, too, because we've covered so many games where
the
people just do it all, you know?
It's like coding, writing, doing music. Yeah, all that kind of goes together, right?
Yeah.
So in Cthulhu Saves Christmas, there's a section where you hang out in Christmas Town and build relationships with the other characters.
Yeah. And that's a play off of like where he's from, right? Ryle Lee or
yeah, I forget the I don't know how to pronounce it. I'll probably butcher that.
It's like R-Y-L-E, right?
Yeah, I think so. Riley or Riley.
That's how I was in my head. I was saying Riley, but like it might be wrong.
So the idea of Cthulhu building the relationships or relationships with the other characters, that idea came from the fact that they had originally wanted to add a dating simulator to the first game, to Cthulhu Saves the World.
Oh my gosh.
But they ran out of time, so that was a point in the game they could add like more character interaction and dialogue, and I thought it would be funny.
Yeah, you know, it does kind of give me the feeling of what I imagine speed dating would be, because you basically just go to these places just to hang out with people and get to know them better, and then that's it. And sometimes you get an object or something,
and it always tells you actually before you even do the interaction what you're gonna get. Which is pretty nice.
I missed that. I was just going to random places. I was like, oh, who do I want to see today?
I mean, that's honestly the best way to do it.
There's probably a lot of stuff that I like overlooked in this game.
So overall, Cthulhu Saves Christmas has very positive reviews on Steam. I couldn't find anything about like how their sales or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully they've done pretty well.
Did you take note of how many reviews they had?
So they've at least sold 250 copies.
250 reviews, that's pretty good. I mean, I think it's good. I mean, if you're like God of War or something, that's probably not good. But this is an indie game, so I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. All right, so that's my history.
All right. So when did it come out?
2019.
Okay, 2019.
And it originally came out for Windows, and then they ported it to everything else.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. Yeah, because didn't it come to Switch recently?
I think it came to Switch in 2021 or 2020.
Okay.
All right, so I got three fun facts for you.
Yeah, fun facts.
And all three of the fun facts are centered around the folklore of the party members that are in Cthulhu's party for the game.
Okay.
So yeah, Crystal, Baba Yaga, and...
Belsnickel. Yeah, Belsnickel. I was like, yeah, I knew it was a weird name.
Yeah. So all of those come from like different folklores.
Oh, really?
If you didn't know that.
No. I didn't know they came from real folklore. Yeah. I thought they were all made up for the game.
No, yeah, real folklore.
So, I mean, they're very out there.
Yeah. I mean, folklore is very out there too.
That's true. Cthulhu's not from folklore though, is he?
He's from...
He's just a fictional made up.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they're all fictional made up, but Cthulhu's more from like literature, right? You're not just like old tales that have been told forever.
He was created by Lovecraft.
Yeah.
With all that horror stuff. So I guess maybe he's a little bit more modern than the rest of these guys.
Yeah, for sure.
But they all kind of also have to do with Christmas itself, which is kind of cool.
Oh, cool.
So Crystal, or the Snow Maiden, is inspired by, and I'm going to butcher this, Snegurotska, Russian folklore from the 19th century.
Nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it. She is the granddaughter and helper of Dead Mraz, who is the Russian equivalent of Santa.
Okay.
In the Eastern Slavic cultures. She wears long silver blue robes and a furry cap or a snowflake-like crown.
Ooh, cool. Very interesting.
Yeah. And then, so Baba Yaga.
Uh-huh. Is this fun fact number two?
Yeah, this is fun fact number two.
Okay.
Baba Yaga is part of the Slavic folklore, and she's a witch that lived in a hut, and she stands on chicken legs. She's typically depicted as a deformed and ferocious-looking old woman and has ambiguous roles ranging from eating children to helping a protagonist find his missing bride. She also tries to steal children's holiday gifts and is the enemy of Father Frost and the Snow Maiden.
Okay. So they did take some liberties with this one, because in this game, she basically has a chicken that permanently lives on her head like a hat.
Cluck cluck.
Yeah, but it's a real chicken. And then she turns her hut into a...
giant chicken
hut.
Yeah.
That has legs and she can make it go wherever she wants. It actually was pretty cool. That is so random.
I'll say, yeah, they're inspired by these characters.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And fun fact number three. So Belsnickel is part of southwestern Germany or Palatinate folklore. He wears furs, typically looks ragged and disheveled, and carries a switch, which is a type of whip.
Mm-hmm.
He checks on children's behavior a week or two before Christmas and often creates fright because he always knows exactly which of the children misbehaved.
Ooh.
He even goes as far as to bait children with candies. And if a child grabs the candy too quickly, they may end up getting struck by Belsnickel's switch.
Hey, that happens to Cthulhu in the game.
Yeah.
That's funny. So they didn't change him up too much.
Yeah.
He's kind of more evil sounding in the game, though. Like, he sounds nicer the way you described him.
Really? I thought he still sounded pretty messed up.
Well, he is pretty messed up, but in the game, he's like even more messed up, I feel like.
He doesn't look disheveled in the game. He looks pretty clean.
But he is very into like beating kids and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a weird guy.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. So those are my three fun facts. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I thought they were all just made up for sure.
So you want to talk about the story at all?
Yeah, let's talk about the story. Let's do a brief summary.
Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time. And because the story is so good, you should probably just go play it yourself.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And we can never do all the humor justice anyway.
All those puns. I love the puns.
Yeah.
So Cthulhu wakes up on Christmas and receives a present from Santa, which drains his power.
Bum, so, bum, bum.
Yeah. So on his way to get revenge on Santa, Cthulhu meets Crystal, Santa's granddaughter.
Not a stripper.
Who tells him that Santa has been kidnapped by the League of Christmas Evil. And the League sent out anti-presents, which give people the opposite of what they wanted. So then Cthulhu then joins up with Crystal, Baba Yaga, and Belsnickel to rescue Santa so he can get his powers back and destroy the world after once he's got his powers back.
Totally cool with.
Which Santa is totally fine
Crystal
with.
Crystal reassures him that, yeah, Santa doesn't care if you take your power and destroy the world with it. He's cool with that.
So between defeating League of Christmas Evil members, you spend time in Christmastown building relationships with other characters. Once you've defeated all the members of the League of Christmas Evil, Crystal tells Santa that he should restore Cthulhu's powers because she's played Cthulhu Saves the World, which is chronologically the next game in the series, and everything works out fine.
Yes. So that, and you save Christmas.
Yeah, so you save Christmas.
You are kind of stuck in this Groundhog Day thing where it's Christmas Eve for about 50 days, though. So.
Yeah, that was hilarious. It's like Christmas Eve the 32nd or something like that.
Christmas Eve 40th, yeah.
Yeah, that cracks me up. And I love the logic that it's like, oh, you can only do one thing a day because, yeah this is RPG. It's video game logic.
So, Eric, what are some of the things that you like about this game?
So I want to start off by saying just the fact that there's a decent Christmas game out there is in itself a Christmas miracle.
That's true.
When I compare it to other Christmas games, Elf Bowling, the Home Alone games, the Grinch games, in my opinion, this is currently the best Christmas game in existence, but that is not a very high bar.
That's true. Yeah, I think overall, it's a really good game. It's solid. It's really funny, like we've already kind of talked about. The story is funny and unique. The dialogue is obviously hilarious. And then the characters are just in themselves hilarious as well. And then even like the places you get to visit and stuff are really funny. You can go to the mall.
you can go ice skating.
You can go to the graveyard, like we were talking about in the intro, and read all these really silly like tombstone sayings and stuff. Just humor all throughout.
Yeah. Even if you like read the descriptions of the enemies, like even the descriptions of the enemies have like funny things in them.
Yeah. Or the descriptions of the equipment and stuff too, like the dresses and the wands and like the whips and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I think there was one where it didn't really even give you any powers. It was just like makes you look super fancy or something like that. And I was like, okay, cool. I want to look fancy. Sure.
But yeah, I agree. The humor had me from the start. Just the idea that Cthulhu is trying to save Christmas in order to get his powers back to destroy the world.
Yeah. And it's very, like, meta, I guess. Like, it breaks the fourth wall. They kind of, like, mention the other games often.
He argues with the narrator.
Yeah, they, like, talk to the narrator and, like, stuff like that. So that also adds a fun element. Because you're like, wait, what? Did they just tell me to save? Like, right, you know, like there's one part right before you the final thing. And it's like, you better something about it. And I don't know. It was like, oh, yeah, I better do that. they're talking to me, the player.
Yeah, there's always lots of funny stuff. Yeah, I really love the characters. Crystal, Baba Yaga, Belsnickel. Yeah. I like Baba Yaga so much just because her name is fun to say.
Yeah, same. And I have... My next pro is kind of funny because I didn't know this was a prequel. You didn't tell me that this was a prequel.
I honestly didn't know it was a prequel until I started playing.
So I was like, I wrote twist ending cliffhanger. Because it's like, dun, dun, dun. You have to play Cthulhu Saves the World to know what's going to happen next. So I'm like, okay. But I guess if you were originally playing this, you probably already played Cthulhu Saves the World. So the end. It's not really a cliffhanger or a twist for you. But if you're playing it for the first time and you don't know, the ending is kind of, I don't know, it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly just wanted a decent Christmas game.
Yeah.
I think this game delivers.
Yeah, I'm glad you picked it.
Yeah, so I felt like the length was perfect for me. Like, it's a really short compared to most traditional RPGs.
Yeah, like five or six hours.
Yeah.
Even shorter than the Mario RPG.
Yeah.
The music in this game is amazing. I love it so much. Probably some of my favorite video game music that I've heard so far. We play a lot of games.
That's saying a lot.
It's not that it's like, I don't know if the quality of it's like really, really good, but it just went along with the game so well, and I just was dancing and like jamming out to it the whole time I was playing.
Nice, yeah.
Which, I don't know, I just really liked it. I was like, yeah, this is really good for like RPG, you know, like you have a lot of downtime in RPGs because you're waiting for it to be your turn, you know, so it's like, I just really like the music in this game.
Totally understand.
And it's like, it's more rockish, and so you get some like rockish kind of like takes on Christmas songs and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which is cool.
Cool, yeah, I like the music as well. And then I had as a pro, like they made some pretty significant quality of life improvements, like to traditional RPGs is not just a straight traditional RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, auto healing between battles, having a max random encounter bar, which lets you explore freely once you've had so many encounters.
Oh, okay.
The ability to skip battles by, you know, hitting the A button.
If you're good at it.
And then like simplifying the item system was really nice too.
Yeah.
Like all those things, I feel like made it a lot simpler, a lot easier to play, a lot more approachable.
Yeah, I definitely think this would be a good beginner RPG because it does have easy mode for one. You have easy, normal, hard mode, which is cool. But yeah, it's short and it's not as heavy on like all the stuff you have to learn about and like memorize and stuff like that. I feel like some of the other RPGs have just a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff to equip, a lot of stats to change out, you know, like abilities, strength versus charisma and all that stuff.
You build a whole character sheet.
Yeah. So this game is kind of like a simplified version of an RPG, I think.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's all I had for pros. You have anything else?
No, that's about all I got for the pros.
All right. So what's something you didn't like about the game, Nikki?
All right. I'm going to shock you. You're going to be amazed.
Okay.
But I only have one con for this game.
Wow.
It is like, it's going to be a very broad con, though.
Okay.
The gameplay is typical RPG gameplay. And they don't really change things up too much in that way, which is, you know, my least favorite thing about RPGs is just having to wait your turn and like all this stuff and just the pacing. But I will say, for an RPG, this one didn't move pretty quickly, you know? So even that, not so much of a con. I actually did like this game a lot.
Yeah, I agree. For me, like the battle started getting a bit repetitive.
Yeah.
Like once you find a good combination of moves that you like, it's like almost every battle would end up going the exact same way. It was like, okay, I'm going to do this move, this move, this move. And then, you know.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I mean by like the gameplay is a very typical RPG.
Yeah.
And so like I honestly, towards the end, I just started messing shit up. Like I was just going nuts. I was not even looking at what I was pressing. I was just like, it would be my turn. I would just like press over A, down A. I'll like just try to do it as fast as I could to still see if I would die. And I only died one time close to the very end. But then it lets you retry. So I was like, sweet. That is not a good strategy, I will say. That was the only time I died because like I never healed anybody. Turns out you have to be kind of strategic with the healing. You can't just do that randomly and hope it works out. Because three of my people died and then, I lost the fight. But yeah, I totally agree with you on, because it would start to be like, okay, I'm going to use my tentacles. Because there's like certain moves where it'll attack all the enemies at the same time. And I would pretty much try to start with all those moves because I figured, might as well do it when there's more enemies, so it's like more bang for your buck, basically.
Yeah, and you kill off the weaker enemies that way, too.
Yeah, so. But we can talk about that more in the strategy.
Okay, yeah. I also feel like when you do unlock a new ability, like most of the abilities aren't really that great. I mean, every now and then you'll unlock a pretty good one, but most of them don't really add that much. Another con is like the maps themselves. Like, they could have used a few more like puzzle-y elements, I thought. Like, they were a little bit too linear, just walking through the maps and finding a few chests.
Yeah.
So, typically in RPGs, you do have some kind of, like, you know, hit a switch to unlock a door on the other side or something like that. Or some block puzzles or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or just something to break up the RPG gameplay.
Okay.
or the battles, basically.
Yeah.
Like almost every RPG will throw those like kind of side mini games in there or something.
Maybe they thought that the kind of dating simulation stuff would kind of take that part.
Yeah, like, and that, you know, that was step great
in for that part.
That was fantastic. But yeah, it just the maps were a little bit too plain, I thought.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
And then, you know, I missed out on some of those relationship building things.
Yeah, they were you didn't even go to the graveyard.
I think if you play New Game Plus, you can keep going and doing it. And so that's how you would see them all.
I tried to go to all of them.
But I feel like, yeah, my problem was I kept wanting to do, like, I want to see all of them. So I never really finished any of them.
Oh.
But anyway, yeah, that's all my cons.
Okay. Cool, cool, cool.
So what's your strategy for playing this game, Nikki?
All right. So, well, step number one, you can go in the settings and you can change the walk function to always run.
Yeah,
I'm not so even, that you're always just walking really, really fast.
I'm not even sure why they have a walk function in this game. Because there's nowhere where you need to walk. There's not a place where you have to be like,
yeah, I don't
careful.
Know.
They should have just left the run on as well, by the default.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, just go to the settings, click always run, so you're not walking around all slow.
Yeah.
Good, that's step one.
Good piece of advice.
But yeah, as far as like actual gameplay goes, there will be these chests all around everywhere. And usually in those, you'll get a weapon or a piece of equipment. And typically, you'll want to go ahead and equip that right away. And it's really good at telling you who it's for, which is nice. It'll be like, oh, this is a such and such robe. This works for Crystal, blah, 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 blah. So you know what character to go look at to add it.
Yeah,
so
that was
really easy.
That was a really nice touch in the item description. It just went ahead and tell you who it was for, so you could go right in.
So you didn't have to guess, like, oh, is this dress for which character, you know?
It's like, who uses the mortar and pestle? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the game is as hard as you want it to be, basically.
What do you mean by that?
So you can change the difficulty at any point when you're playing.
Oh, that's true.
You can also grind and level up your characters if the enemies seem too tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's really like as hard as you want to make it.
Yeah.
You can also skip battles if you want to skip battles. So
if you're good enough.
If you can time the little explanation points when they show up.
I was like, actually, I'm remembering a con because I did want there to be an option to run away after you've already started a fight. Because towards the end, I was like, I'm over this. I just want to get to the last boss. Like, and that's when I started doing all that crazy stuff because I was just really annoyed. But yeah. Also, like, save often. The game lets you save whenever you want, so don't forget to do that.
Yeah, definitely save.
That'd be bad.
So, yeah, like I was saying earlier, I recommend just sticking to, like, a few places or characters when you're building the relationships. That way you can, like, see through a story because you will not have time to finish all of them. In fact, if you just, like, do a couple with each one, you'll still have most of them on there by the time the game ends.
Yeah, that's kind of true, but I don't know. I kind of like seeing all the options.
It's true, but I didn't even see the second part of the graveyard, so I didn't even get to read those awesome graveyard.
And you missed out, man.
Quotes, yeah.
Something else that I have is make sure to balance attacking with healing and other power-ups because it'll make the battles go by faster. And so if you're just like attacking all the time, it takes a long time. But if you do some of the power-ups and stuff, your attacks will do more damage. So you can be done faster.
You can also see the enemy's weakness. It will tell you what their weaknesses are. So
what? When does it do that?
I guess you don't remember that from the tutorial.
Oh, yeah. I probably just skipped all the tutorial and didn't pay too much attention.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That checks out. I still beat the game and it was fine, so it wasn't that important.
I'll say it didn't really affect too much.
Yeah.
Because you're still basically doing the moves that are effective.
Yeah.
All right, so that's all I had for strategy. Do you have anything else?
No, that's about all I got to.
Did you find anything for the future?
No, not really. What about you?
I found a couple things.
I didn't look for the gaming company, though. I just looked for the specific game. So I'm sure maybe they have a new game coming out or something.
They had one come out in 2022. Yeah, the most recent game from Zeboid Games is called This Way Madness Lies.
Ooh.
Which is a magical girl RPG with Shakespearean themes.
That sounds kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, honestly, I've seen a little bit of it played, and it looks pretty amazing.
Okay. But that was all the way back in 2022? Are they working on anything that you found, or?
I couldn't find if they were working on anything. And unfortunately, I did see that Bill Sternberg left the studio in 2023.
Oh, maybe that's why.
But it's still continuing onward under Robert Boyd.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they really haven't come out with anything new yet. They're trying to figure out.
I mean, it seems like their general timeline is 2 to 3 years. Like, Cthulhu Saves Christmas came out 2019. This Way Madness Lies came out 2022.
Yeah, so, but you think they would at least, like, announce, hey, we're working on it. Usually gaming companies do that. Even if it's not done, they're, like, announce what they're working on once they get it far enough. So, like, by now, if they're almost should be coming out with a new game, you think they would have announced it?
I also didn't look super hard. So.
All right. So it's on you, Eric. Spread misinformation. I'm just kidding.
Whatever. All right. So challenge, Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
Did you manage to save Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Call me John McClane because I saved Christmas.
Because yippee-ki-yay. Does he say yippee-ki-yay?
Yeah, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
I saved Christmas.
Die Hard, the best Christmas movie out there, according to some people.
According to me. All right, so you saved Christmas.
I did.
Everyone lived
happily
ever.
Everyone can write me a letter thanking me.
Specifically you.
Yeah, just me. For saving Christmas. And you're welcome to all the children. I said, you're welcome. You get presents now because of me.
You're such a good person.
I'm the best. I'm the greatest.
I bet you're going to pick a really good game,
too. Because of that, I am going to pick a good game. What game would you think of that would make you think of the new year, new you?
Oh, God. New year, new me. New Year, New Me.
That's probably really bad.
maybe like The Sims or something.
What's another good...
Where you literally can make an avatar version of yourself?
No.
Not The Sims?
Not The Sims. If you wanted a little more adventure in your life. That's the thing people want to do for like New Year's resolutions and stuff, right?
I know you like adventure games. Adventure games are your jam.
They are my jam.
So think of like the Uncharted series, the Tomb Raider series.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that's a lot of series to think about.
God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
Those are all
many
series you like. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did I mention a series that the game is going to come from?
Yes, you did.
Okay. I'm going to guess Tomb Raider. Yes. Because that's currently what you're playing.
Yeah, I know. Yes, we're going to be playing Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, and it's not like the original one or anything, but it came out in 2014, I believe, so that's probably one of the first ones I played, I think.
Yeah, and I played through that game too, and it was a great game.
Oh, you played it?
Yeah.
Okay. So your challenge is to beat the game with the trophy Tastes Like Chicken.
Tastes like, do I get to know what the, what it?
Yeah, I can tell you. What okay. You can look it up, but you just have to kill or hunt, or I guess that's kind of the same thing. 10 chickens or small animals.
That sounds kind of cruel.
Hey, I didn't create the trophy, okay?
All right.
But I didn't want to just give you only beat the game.
Yeah.
So you have to beat the game and kill the 10 chickens.
Kill 10 chickens, Scott. So random.
So, yeah, I know.
I like it.
I was thinking Tomb Raider, you know, she goes on a lot of adventures. Okay, I just picked it because I wanted to. It has nothing to do with New Year's.
Chickens are kind of like a Chinese New Year animal, right?
Yeah, sure, totally. But you know what? Sometimes I can just pick a game. Because I want to. And Tomb Raider is one of my favorite game series, and I haven't picked any Tomb Raider games so far. So I thought, you know what? It's time.
It's actually kind of surprising because there's a few game series that I know you love that you haven't picked any games from.
I know. know. And I don't, sometimes it's because we just did a game that's similar to that one or something like that, but we haven't really done an action adventure game in a little bit. So
all right,
I
yeah.
thought now's the time.
Now's your chance. It's a good choice.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Well, happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
See you next year.
All right.
Love that joke. Bye.
Bye.
Love us and you love our podcasts, give us the gift of a review. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. It really helps us come up in the searches for other people to discover us. So it's really helpful and we'll love you forever. Also, if you've played Cthulhu Saves Christmas, let us know what you thought. And if you haven't played it, are you going to? Because you better. Bye.